to the Parent Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM.
Neave Solicitors are proud to sponsor the Parent Show. The friendly team at Neave's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit neavesolicitors.co.uk. Neave Solicitors, your complete legal solution.
Welcome to The Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. I'm Lydia Elcourie, and tonight we're talking about homework and specifically about primary school level homework on The Parents Show. Now, do our children really need to get homework in primary school? Do they need so much? And what is the thinking behind homework? How big a role do we as parents have in making sure it's done? Now, to lead the discussion to all of these questions, we'll be talking to David Weston, who's a former secondary school teacher and now chief executive of the Teacher Development Trust. We'll also be speaking to Roy Broadfield, primary national consultant with Impact. David Weston has very kindly agreed to be our expert this evening on it. Good evening, David.
Hello, Lydia. Thanks very much for having me on.
Our pleasure, our pleasure. We plan to get as much information out of you while we have you, but we've got you for the whole show. So if any listeners want to ask any questions at any point, 01727 839 926, and we'll put them straight to David. Just generally, before we speak to Roy Broadfield, who's coming in from Impact, tell us from a teacher's perspective, just tell us why children get homework.
Well, there's a huge amount of learning that we need kids to go and do in our schools. So what we're looking to do is some homeworks can do different things. So, for example, you might have a homework that's kind of laying the ground for the next lesson. So you might just say, start thinking about this area, maybe do a little reading, do a little work. So you've had some thoughts in your head before you come to the lesson. Another good reason might be that you've just learnt something in the lesson and you want to go home and practice it in lots of different ways. Another thing you might do is maybe go and research something, so something that's interesting in you, or, you know, there are these fantastic homeworks of go and build something, or, you know, bring in some great stories. So there are all sorts of different things that homework can do. Essentially, it's just making kids think outside the classroom, you know, when they're away from the teacher, can they work independently?
Great stuff. Now, we're going to... So there's certainly, you know, I think parents probably can lose perspective at times when you're spending hours yourself, you know, at the kitchen table with your children doing homework. You might lose a bit of perspective and think, like, is there actually a need to this? So more often, we can fairly safely assume that there is a good reason for everyone to be set down for a few hours in the evening time doing it. There is a value of it. Can I just ask you, before we move on to our next guest, is there such a thing as too much homework?
Oh, definitely. So I think there's some really good research that would actually show that as kids get older, then we need to increase the amount of homework. And as a really rough rule of thumb, people often say that if you take the year number there in, year one, year five, whatever, multiply that by about 10 minutes. And really, approximately, homework should average out about that. But generally speaking, much less homework in primary than in secondary school. So, you know, and homework doesn't necessarily always need to be the thing that was set by the teacher. It could just be, you know, them going back and looking at their notes and having just a review and a read forward in the textbook and all that sort of thing.
Great. Well, that's nice, and that sounds very calming. I like the sound of that. And so you'd say first class 10 minutes, second class 20 minutes, third
yeah,
class 30 minutes.
That sort of thing, absolutely. But I mean, essentially, you can do all sorts of learning at home that isn't officially homework. But yeah, in terms, it's good to build it up gently.
Great. So we're going to take a short break and come back with Roy Broadfield, who's a primary national consultant with an organisation called Impact. And he'll be giving us a little bit more information about homework and the role parents specifically have in children doing homework.
92.6 FM.
Welcome back to The Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. Now, as I promised, we have David Weston still in the studio with us. He's the Chief Executive of the Teacher Development Trust. And joining us on the line, we should have Roy Broadfield on the phone with us now. Roy, are you there?
I am, Lydia. Hi.
That's great. Roy is a primary national consultant with Impact. And we have David Weston in the studio with us, who is from the Teacher Development Trust. Now, Roy, tell us a little bit about Impact and learning. What's the idea behind involving parents to raise attainment?
Yeah, the Impact programme was developed about 2006, and it was at the request of parents who were coming into school. I've been a teacher for 20 years, mostly in research in year one, and they were coming in and saying that they hadn't an idea of how to support homework under the new curriculum and the new guidelines. So the Impact Program was designed to bring parents into school, show them how we teach children in the modern age curriculum, and give them some ideas of what they can do to support that learning in the home.
Great. And has times just changed? I mean, when I was a kid, obviously my parents didn't help me in any way with my homework. It was usually done in front of the front door, you know, in the hallway as quickly as possible, and you ran back out to play. That those days are gone.
Right.
I guess.
And I mean, the main reason for my program being developed was because of the work of Professor Charles DeForge at Exeter University. Now, he's the leading international expert in this field, and what he did was a literature review of all the evidence regarding parental involvement, and he concluded that parents make the biggest difference to pupil achievement, not schools.
So, I mean, I beg your pardon, continue.
So his research was saying that if you compare the best schools with the ones that are not so good, the children by the age of 7 get 5% more learning in good schools. But if you compare the best parents and those that helps and support their children at home, then those children get 30% more learning.
The pressure is really on. It's really on. I think a lot of parents out there will be delighted that it means you don't have to go to the best school to get the best results. But a lot of them will be out there thinking, oh my God, this means I have to sit down with my child every evening. Is that what it means, Roy?
Well, there's a lot of parents also coming into schools. And as I said, the reason for me developing the program was that some research was done. 72% of parents said, please help us to understand what it is that our children are learning. If a child comes home with maths homework, for instance, a lot of Key Stage 2 parents, junior school parents, will have a conflict there. They'll come home, the child will show them the homework. The parents will try and rely on what they learned in school, have a go at doing the homework with them, and the child will always say, that's not the way we do it in school anymore. I'm sure there's a lot of parents that will relate to that.
Absolutely. I mean, I have to say, you've already lost me when you said Key Stage 2. I mean, are these phrases that we need to be familiar with?
Yeah, I think parents need to know that when their child enters the infant school, they're going through Key Stage 1. And then when they go through what we used to call the junior school, up to 11, they're going through Key Stage 2. But I think more importantly, what they need to know is what are the expected levels at the end of those key stages? What is my child expected to be able to do when they come and meet SATs, when they come to the end of Key Stage 1, and again at the end of Key Stage 2? What should they know, and what's the national sort of average? And then what do the school need to do in conjunction with the parents in order to get the child there?
Roy, would you say that this is the sort of thing that schools should be providing to parents, or is there some website that they can go to?
There's a variety of things that are available to parents. I mean, what my program does is it isn't actually taken in by parents alone. The school actually brings the parents in. They see where there's a hole in the children's learning, whether that's in maths or literacy. They bring the parents in, and we run a program which is a one-hour workshop. The parents sit down and learn how it is that the children are learning in maths or in literacy, in writing or reading. And then they're given a package of materials to go home and just spend 10 minutes a day, is what we say, to sit with their child or another adult at home to sit with the child, do some activities which are fun-based activities. A lot of learning is going on through that interaction with the parents at home.
And what if schools aren't offering kind of orientation in how they're teaching? I mean, do you think it's right to kind of put pressure on your school or approach the school that your children's going to do this?
The pressure's already there, actually, because Ofsted are saying that schools should be engaging with parents in a way that raises attainment for kids. So schools should be offering some kind of support for parents. Parents are asking for it. Schools have the knowledge and the responsibility, if you like, to make sure parents are informed. But the program that we created was there to support the schools. Schools are up to their eyeballs with all sorts of information, paperwork. You know, it's never been a more demanding job for teachers. And so what we did was to make that transition easier into getting more parents in and breaking down those barriers and getting more partnership, we created all the materials for the schools. We go in and deliver the workshops ourselves, and the homework is set by us and provided by us as well.
Sorry, you provide the training for the teachers or for the parents?
We provide the training for the teachers, but we also, as part of that, do the first workshop in each school for the parents, so that one of our trained consultants actually leads the workshop with parents. The school staff observe that, and then they go in and do their own across the rest of the school.
And why wouldn't every school do that? Is it a financial issue? Is that why all schools don't?
Our program is a very cheap program. I think for most schools, the problem is where to start, what do we do,
yeah.
How do we begin, what resources do we create and give to the parents. And all that, as I say, is already done for you. All our packages are tried and tested with hundreds of families before we put them out to schools. And as I say, it's a very, very cost-effective way of delivering parents' engagement work.
Roy, if you were going to, if you're a parent listening to this and you sort of thought, well, you know, I haven't, my school isn't been engaging with this. So what would your sort of tips be? You know, I mean, what are some ideas that parents could actually try and do that are fairly straightforward that they wouldn't need a huge amount of training with?
Okay, so there are a number of websites that parents can visit, and just by, you know, Googling, you know, help for my child's school learning, the BBC have a very good website. There's a number of very good websites that parents can go to. The difference between that and the school providing some training for parents is that it can be very specifically targeted to the child's needs. So parents can be very much in the dark about what it is. For instance, one of the things that we do is we teach parents how to use a 100 square and a blank number line, which is how children learn to calculate these days. If they're not familiar with that, it's going to be very difficult for them to go onto a website, download that, work with it with their child. They need the skills and the training really in order to do that, and that's why we offer the whole package.
Yeah, I mean, I feel a little, as a parent, I mean, my children aren't even in primary school yet, and I feel a little bit out of my depth, and I feel a little bit intimidated by the process. So the fact that, I mean, the thing that's running through my head now is, obviously I'd love the school that my children go to have, you know, access to impact and learning. And how does that happen? How can you, as a parent, if you say, okay, my school isn't doing that, they're not providing any courses, do you get the PTA involved? Who, like, what's the process?
Yeah, a number of our recommendations have actually come through parents. So I've had schools contact me saying, parents Googled, you know, help for my child, found our website, could you please come in and have a chat about what you do and how you run it? So parents have been good at instigating that in their own schools. They can go to our website, which is impactinlearning.co.uk, and then try and persuade the school to take it on in that way. As I say, the cost is not great. It's about, you know, it's the cost of a couple of days supply teaching, but you actually get incredible results as a result of engaging with the parents through the program.
Yeah, it sounds fantastic, and it sounds like, you know, with a 30% advantage over every other tool you have in your toolbox, it's a great idea. And are you nationwide?
I am. We work in 280 schools now. A lot of the schools are in London and in the West Midlands and Shropshire, also the Isle of Man. So we're working with all those schools ongoing with the programme, yes.
And have you done anywhere? Obviously, we're an FM station in Hertfordshire. Have you done any training in Hertfordshire?
We haven't, no. We've never been invited to, but hopefully we might do now.
Yeah, indeed. This might be getting a few parents wound up in West Hertfordshire. Roy, thanks very much. Could I just get that website off you again?
It's www.impactinlearning.co.uk.
Great. And any more tips for parents before we let you go?
Tips for parents is, the most important thing for me was that children were coming in enjoying their learning. And I think one of the best things that a parent can do is read to children. So if you don't have any other skills or any other knowledge about what you can do with your child, reading stories to them is a really great help for the introduction for their own reading. So that's what I would suggest.
And there's no limit to that. Just read is an absolute winner.
Absolutely, yeah.
Great stuff. Roy Broadfield, thanks very much for joining us this evening.
Thank you for inviting me.
All the best.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
The Community's Voice. We're Radio Verulam.
Welcome back to the Parent Show on Radio Verulam. Now, this evening I'm joined by David Weston, who's the Chief Executive of the Teacher Development Trust. He's in the studio with us now. Thanks for staying with us, David.
No problem, Lydia.
Now, we touched on, you know, you giving us an insight into the value of homework from a teacher's perspective, and you said there is certainly such a thing as too much homework at the beginning. Now, what do you see as the role of us as parents in doing homework?
Well, I mean, Roy Broadfield was absolutely right. I mean, parents make such a difference in all of this, and actually I think some of the best things that parents can do are not actually worry too much about the content of the homework itself. And I hear this very often, that parents are saying, oh, you know, I didn't know how to help them here because I didn't understand the subject matter. That's actually fine. The best things that parents can generally do is around structure. So one of the things is just actually, you know, help your children structure their work and have a fixed time when they're going to do it. Get them into a really good habit. So it's all about, you know, saying, right, you know, you're going to come home, maybe have your tea or beforehand, and we're going to have a fixed time when you sit down, and we've agreed, you sit down, you do your homework then. And then I'm going to help you start that time, give you a little encouragement, you know, it's your homework time now, help you read through what have you got now, and maybe just discuss with you what homework you should be doing first. So it's that structuring is really important. I think the second thing is giving kids a really good environment to do it. So it's really important that they have somewhere that's quiet, yeah, that they have space, that they have the right sort of equipment there. It's got to be an environment which you would like to work in.
Yeah.
You know, in a space that they really feel, this is my workspace, you know, this is where I do my homework. And actually, you can do that from a very early age. You can have a play space in one place, but somewhere else, okay, this is homework space. So that's really important. And of course, having the right equipment. Just make sure they've got pencils and rubbers and pens and rulers and things like that. And then really, a lot of the rest is all about then the attitude. And there's so much that a parent can do. You can just, it's about praising in the right way. So, you know, you can praise and say, you're really clever. You can praise and say this, but actually that's not really helpful. It comes so naturally to, you know, to everyone. You want to go, oh, great, you're such a clever boy, such a clever girl. And I'm sure you do that with your kids.
I do.
Yeah.
Non-stop.
Yeah, so the thing is, actually, funnily enough, even though it feels like a great thing to do, it's not always the best thing to do. And actually, if you're praising kids, what you really want to do is you want to praise them for making a lot of effort and for keeping going, you know, being really tenacious, resilient, or whatever, however you want to describe it. Because there was some fantastic research by Professor Carol Dweck over in the States, and she actually found that if you started praising kids for the effort they put in, then you consistently found that they would try harder and harder and harder, because they went, hey, I tried really hard, didn't I? You know, obviously you can't just go, yeah, you tried really hard when they did 10 seconds, but if you genuinely praise them for trying hard, kids suddenly start valuing it. And actually, it's not so much the end product, but it's about, wow, you know, I did my best here.
Fantastic. And so don't lavish praise. Don't say it if you don't really, really mean it, and pick the bits you definitely want them to,
yeah,
to kind of, exactly, improve on.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, if your children are coming home with homework and they're doing the work and they're getting a little bit stuck on it, and actually you can say, listen, I'm really impressed because you've really had lots of goes on that, and in fact you read through your notes again, you read the textbook, you know, you've tried ringing Auntie Mavis, you've tried so many different things, you know, and you just tell the teacher you've tried lots of things, you've done your best. That's the really important thing, you know.
Yeah.
And you just kept at it, and I'm really proud of the fact you've had lots of goes.
And when you're talking about the environment, getting the right environment, kitchen table, is it okay? If it is a quiet area, is it all right?
So, that's it. I mean, so if it's a quiet area, that's, you know, that would be great. Somewhere they've got some space. Essentially, you don't want lots of, you know, other siblings zooming around, making lots of noise. You don't want lots of clatter. It needs to be somewhere where they can really just focus in, because, I mean, look, we know kids don't have the greatest attention spans.
or parents, for that matter.
Yeah. So, yeah, even you don't want to be distracted. But they need some time by themselves as well. You don't have to be there the whole time.
Ah, that's what I was going to ask you, really. So it is okay for it to be their bedroom, have a desk in their bedroom at a young age, do you think?
Well, I mean, I think it's generally better when kids are doing work. It's somewhere where you can kind of keep an eye. I mean, that's obviously particularly true when we start getting to using the computer. Obviously, you know, really good advice then is always have a computer in a space where you can see them, just for, you know, safety reasons.
Yeah.
But, you know, if there's a room somewhere where you can just keep nipping past and you're kind of aware of what they're doing, that's ideal. But it does need to be quiet. And actually, the number of times I've taught children who said, I was trying to do this and my little sister, you know, and my little sister was there and she was interrupting me. And of course, as a teacher, you're like, oh, yeah, and the dog ate it. And
yeah, yeah.
But it is true. And actually, you sometimes do see a difference with the kids who have the space and the kids who don't.
Yeah, oh, that's interesting. And I'm sure there must be things that obviously, like, make sure your kid has a you know, plenty of, or not plenty of food, but a snack and a drink before they even sit down to,
yeah,
do it.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, yeah, kids, their blood sugar levels can go up and down much quicker than ours. So actually, yeah, just, you know, think, have they had a glass of water, have they had some juice, whatever, a little bit of something sugary, and then, you know, that will really help them get set up. The other thing, of course, you're always going to get some, you're always going to get some reluctant people, and that's not a problem. So actually, what you need to do, if your child is really not wanting to sit down at the time, go for an incentive reward system, you know, stickers, sweets, all sorts of things.
Sweets, I like it.
But carefully. I think the whole idea is, you know, you can talk to people, and you can talk to the kid and explain why some kids are just going to need just, you know, a little bit of a reward system.
Great. Well, listen, we're going to... you're not off the hook yet, David. We've got more questions for you. But we just want to hop over to a parent's perspective. We've got Sarah on the line now, who's going to talk to us a little bit about her experience at homework. Sarah, are you there?
Hi there. Yes, I am.
Thanks very much for joining us this evening. You've got two children, is that right, Sarah?
That's right, yeah, two boys.
How old are they?
They're just 5 and just 8.
So how have you found... how did you find nursery and primary homework? Tell us a little bit about your experience.
I have to say that they did start doing homework from a very young age, a lot younger than I remember doing it. To be honest, I don't remember getting homework other than spellings and maybe some timetables in primary. I don't remember getting as much homework as my boys do. In nursery, I felt it was slightly more parent homework. We were quite often asked to, you know, print out a photo of the children, you know, enjoying a social occasion, or one time we had to make an advent calendar, which is obviously something that a 3-year-old can't do without a lot of parent input. I mean, it was fun, but I did want to ask David how long he thinks is reasonable for the school to give you to get the homework done, because currently they're supposed to be writing a diary, you know, about what they did at the weekend. And that has to be in on a Monday morning, which doesn't seem like a very long time to actually do something interesting at the weekend and then write about it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Sarah. I think the school's got to try and strike a balance. Obviously, they want to keep the pace of learning going, but it can be... You're absolutely right. I mean, it's very harsh for someone to say you have to do it over this weekend, no matter what your plans are. And actually, you know, I've spoken to a lot of parents who've sent notes in and said, we're really sorry, we wanted to fit this homework in, but we couldn't. And then, you know, you get very anxious about it. I think it's reasonable to expect the schools will give a reasonable amount of time. But if there's some reason you can't, I think it's also, they should accept the fact that you say, look, there's a very reasonable excuse here, actually, because we weren't able to do it. As long as, you know, that's not an excuse that's being repeated all the time. It's kind of a negotiation, but I think schools ideally should have a timetable, you know, and they sort of say, well, we're going to try and set homework on this day and collect it in on this day, and you can then at least plan around it a little bit, I think.
Thursday or something would seem reasonable. My elder child, I think his gets given on a Friday and has to be in on the Wednesday. But, yeah, the youngest was expected... I mean, there was only a sentence or two and a picture.
Yeah, yeah.
But, obviously, Friday you haven't done anything, and I don't like to make them do homework the second they get in on Friday.
Well, that's right, exactly. I mean, you know, it's
Saturday,
their time.
Saturday is the day when you have lots of stuff to do as a family.
Yeah,
either
that's
trips
right.
Or just, you know, general day-to-day stuff.
So,
and then it has to be written on the Sunday.
Yeah. So, Sarah, we had Roy Broadfield on early, who was saying how he works with some schools and actually helps them do training sessions for parents. I wonder, have you ever had any advice from your schools about how you should be helping them with homework or any sort of training sessions? What's been your experience?
Not training sessions on homework per se. We've actually just moved into the area, so their previous school did do the odd workshop. I attended one recently about how maths is taught these days, because everything's changed a lot from when I was at school. The working's out. We used to do a column method, and now they do something completely different. So that was helpful, because otherwise there have been times when Jake's come home with maths homework and said, but we do it like this, and I had no idea how to help him with it. So that's been useful.
That seems to be the general consensus, Sarah. I mean, we all seem to be a little bit out of our depth, you know, and the way our children are learning is just different. It just seems to be comprehensively different to everything that we learn. Even phonics, you know, I mean, that the system seems to be completely different to how, you know, we learned as kids.
And even from school to school, it seems to be different with phonics. The school that my youngest is going to be moving into in Hertfordshire, they do jolly phonics, I believe. And that seems to have some kind of hand movement that goes with it as well. And that wasn't taught in his last school. That was a different method. So that's going to be something new for him to get used to.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I know you have issues like that. And then, you know, I've seen plenty of grandparent told off for trying to be helpful and saying, you know, oh, this is the letter M and R and, you know, and T. And it's like, no, very sorry, good. That's no longer M and T.
Yeah.
And it's very, you know, I think, but it does seem like it's good that your school was actually laying on some advice. I think we were just discussing the fact that not all schools will do that, but schools are increasingly realising actually they do need to engage parents in order to, you know, really help them get on with their homework.
Yes, that was helpful.
Sarah, what do you think about the level of homework apart from the Sunday thing? Does it take over your life? Is that how have you felt about it?
I wouldn't say it's taken over our lives. My eldest, he's a smart little boy. He sometimes can get a bit concerned if he thinks he hasn't done something properly. I think that's more down to his temperament. And although he's never told off at school, and his teachers have got lots of time for him, but he does get himself quite anxious if he is not immediately sure what he's supposed to do with the homework. And I have a read through and say, well, I think it's this. No, that's not how we did it in class. But generally, we can get it done in one or two sessions without too many complaints at the moment. But when they have big projects to do, that can be a little more heavy going.
Yeah, and I wonder if there's any kind of way of doing too much as parents. You know, is it possible for you to draw a line when and not to take over too much? What do you think, David?
This is a really classic issue. And actually, as I was saying before, parents really don't have to be content experts. And in fact, you do see situations where parents are actually harming their children's learning because they're like, oh, I know this, and let me help you. And actually, letting kids struggle for a little bit or not know something, that's okay. You know, actually, we all learn from not knowing something, and they're going, I really want to know that next time. So you don't have to be a content expert. You can discuss with them, you can ask them to explain it to you, ask them to say, well, how did you try this in school, or, you know, what other things might you think about doing, what other approaches could you use to solve this problem? But yeah, there's a real danger of doing too much.
I'm even thinking of how I approach jigsaw puzzles now with a 2-year-old, and I'm just thinking, oh my God, I need to back off. I really need to back off. But it is hard to do that as a parent, because you do want to get the best for your kid, but that's such valuable advice. So take a step back. Let them kind of sink a little bit, can we say that? Let them try and save themselves a little bit and just point them in the right direction.
Absolutely.
No spoon feeding.
No, that's right. And also, just as soon as, you know, if kids are struggling, you can say, wow, I can see you're really struggling with that, but look at you continuing trying. I'm really proud of you. Wow, that's fantastic. What a, you know, you're trying so hard to fix that. It doesn't matter if you fix it in eventually. It doesn't matter if you solve that problem. But the point is, you're working hard at it.
Yeah.
And it's all about the effort, you know.
Great stuff. Very valuable advice. And Sarah, as a parent, can I just come back to you? Do you have any tips for other parents out there on how to approach it? How do you keep calm over the whole homework issue?
That's a good question. How do you keep calm? I think it is important, as David was saying earlier, to either, if you have got a little brother or a little sister who maybe doesn't have as much homework to do and they're buzzing around, possibly give them something to do, even if it's colouring, something that's quiet so that they can sit at the desk as well, or the kitchen table at the other end where they're not kicking them, but they've got their own pens, their own pencils, whatever, something like that. So just to keep them occupied and they can still see their sibling for a little while. Because I think if you take them off into the other room and let them watch television or something like that, that can be seen as a treat that the other child isn't getting, which makes homework all the more, you know, all the more of a chore.
Very good thinking. Yeah.
Of course, you could be, you know, entertaining the younger ones with a game, but quite often it's happening when you're trying to make dinner or something like that. So if you can get them both quietly occupied with something homework related.
Very good advice all around. I'm scribbling notes here. That's great. Sarah, thanks so much for joining us this evening and for giving us your advice.
Thank you, Sarah.
Okay.
92.6 FM.
Thanks for joining us on the Parents Show this evening. We've got a parent, Jeanette, on the show who's got a question for David Weston. Jeanette, are you there?
Oh, it was more of I just was listening to the show online, and I'm a teacher and kind of parent as well, and I actually ran the Impact program in my school in North London.
Fantastic.
And as a parent, I'm currently using the phonics on with my little girl at the moment. And just because I've had kind of two perspectives on it as a parent and as a teacher, I just kind of wanted to say the impact that it had really on myself as a parent working with my child, as well as a teacher working with children within the workshops and stuff. So it was fantastic. It was just the feedback from parents after the workshops was just brilliant, and you know, huge sense of relief really.
Wow.
About one, what we do nowadays in school, and secondly, that you know, homework doesn't have to be an onerous task. It doesn't have to be, you know, hours and hours every night.
Mm.
Roy very much advocated in the workshop that it was 5 minutes. There were small activities each night that you did, and it built up to, in my case, a piece of writing. It was because the children were in the workshop and because the parents were in the workshop, nobody could have the excuse of, oh, well, I don't want to do it tonight, because the child said, oh, I don't want to do it, and the parents said, well, it's only 5 minutes of our time. And if the parent was like, oh, you know, we're a bit busy tonight, the child would say, well, it's only 5 minutes of my time. And the tools that he provided within the pack just made it so clear for parents.
Brilliant.
To see how to move their children on and where they were. And I think one of the things that confuses parents so much is, you know, where their child is in terms of, you know, what they're attaining. And some schools I know tell them what level their child is at. And, you know, if I wasn't a teacher, I wouldn't have the first clue what a level two was or a level four was or whatever else. But to know that your child's here and this is a very easy way to help them and give them more confidence, was really good.
That's brilliant. So, Jeanette, if there was, obviously you learned a huge amount and it was really great to have something structured. Mm. Was there any, I mean, if you sort of had one tip, because you've got so many different hats on, you,
yeah,
having looked at the programme and being a parent as well, what would you think, what would the one tip be for parents of, this is the most important thing you can do to help your children be really successful at homework?
I'd say be interested in what your child does at school. And I tend not to say to my little girl, because it never works, what did you do at school today, because you get nothing, or I just play because she's in reception class. So I tend to ask her, what was your favourite thing that you did today?
Yes.
Or, you know, what's the one thing that you remember about doing today? And I found it really hard to get her engaged with phonics and doing the phonics sheets and things like that, and reading especially. As she just found out, she's got glue ear, which is probably why she was finding it difficult to hear the sound.
Oh, yes.
But in the phonics program, you get a CD which has got this brilliant adventure on it with a wizard and things like that, and we play that in the car. That got her interested initially, and then I was able to sit down with her, and now we just have it as part of our routine. And your previous caller saying, you know, doing homework over the weekend and things like that, completely understand that, you know, you either want to be doing things or catching up with the rest of the week. Yeah. And, you know, we have a routine now where first thing on a Saturday, you know, we get up and we do a little bit of work, and the motivation is we'll then go out and do something. And, you know, on the whole, it works very well. But I have to say, having done Impact as a teacher made me rethink homework completely and what I was expecting the parents to do, because I was asking too much, and people have busy lives. You know, I know myself as a parent, I've got a really busy life, and you want that learning to happen at home, but the most important thing I think is the learning environment, that, you know, parents communicate with their children that learning is a 24-hour thing. It's not just you go to school or you know, and that interest. Parents showing what their children are up to and what they're doing, I think is definitely a top tip that
Definitely. What a fantastic tip as well. And in fact, that, Lydia, I was just going to say that, I mean, that so perfectly chimes. There was some great international research that just said the best things that parents do across the world are read to their children, they discuss the work that they do at work and what their kids are doing, they discuss current affairs, and they just take an interest in everything and talk about it. So yeah. I think absolutely, absolutely chimes with what you're saying.
Neve Solicitors are proud to sponsor The Parent Show. The friendly team at Neves includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit nevesolicitors.co.uk. Neves Solicitors, your complete legal solution.